Well, welcome everybody to a special Law Day edition of the Omaha Bar Association Bar Talk podcast. I'm Dave Summers, Executive Director of the Omaha Bar Association, and I am here today with our 2024 Robert M. Speier Public Service Award recipients, Mernie Haney and Jen Gahn of Legal Aid of Nebraska. Thanks so much for taking the time.
You bet.
So we're doing a dual interview today, so we'll jump back and forth from each of you. For the listeners at the start here, can you guys talk about what Legal Aid of Nebraska does in the community and who it can help?
Sure. Legal Aid of Nebraska provides free civil legal services to low-income Nebraskans. And we receive about 19,000 requests for assistance a year and provide legal assistance to about 14,000 individuals a year, in 14,000 cases, I should say.
Right.
And the civil legal services that we focus on are four priority areas. So children and families, debt and finance, housing, and income and benefits.
And what's the ratio, generally speaking, on those areas?
Sure.
Is it similar, or is there a heavier area?
We have about 50% of our requests for assistance in the children and families area. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is domestic relations. And we also provide assistance to victims of domestic violence under that priority area. Mm-hmm. And then about 20% of our requests for assistance are in housing matters, primarily eviction related. Mm-hmm. 20% are in income and benefits. So things like disability benefits or unemployment insurance benefits, Medicaid, and SNAP, for example. Mm-hmm. And then the other 10% is in debt and finance, so primarily related to debt collection and bankruptcy.
And Mernie, do you happen to have the history on the top of your brain when Legal Aid of Nebraska was founded? And I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, it was in the 60s.
Right.
And that's about all I know.
Yeah. It's a statewide organization. I'm not sure Bob Speier was the person who helped start it. I know he's been a big advocate during his lifetime for legal aid. I'll have to get that history and put that in the news article that we write. So we are giving both of you the Robert M. Speier Award this year for your longstanding work here at Legal Aid. And Mernie, we were just talking about it before we got on. How many years are you at right now?
23.
Jen, how many years?
25.
It's just a testament to the hard work, the long hard work that you both have done, and in such an important area here. I'd love to get your history, where you came from, how you got into law. So, Mernie, we'll start with you. Can you give us a little bit of background on growing up and what took you to law school and what brought you to Legal Aid?
Well, I wanted to be a lawyer pretty much since I was a teenager. After I finished school, I applied for law school, and I wanted to work with kids. So after law school, I clerked for an Eighth Circuit judge, and then went from there to a law firm in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. From the law firm in Minneapolis, I went to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, where I was able to work in the juvenile area, and did that for a number of years. And then I went to adult prosecution. There was an event in my family, so I took a year off and came back here. Then I got hooked into my family and decided to stay, and was looking for a professional home, and was really lucky to have found Legal Aid of Nebraska.
Wow. So you went to law school here.
I did.
Born and raised in the Omaha area?
Raised in Omaha.
Okay. So the move to Minneapolis was for the job in private sector, right?
Right.
Okay. I got to ask, Minneapolis family, lived a lot of my life going there. What'd you think?
I loved Minneapolis. Yeah. But I was lonesome the whole time, so I was missing my family.
Yeah.
So it was good to come home.
Yeah. And then for legal aid, when you started, what were you doing? What work were you doing?
Well, at that point in time, we had the juvenile law contract with Douglas County. And so a lot of what the office was doing was the juvenile court work. And I started doing that. And then we lost that contract, which actually was a good thing for us locally in Omaha. Mm. And we were able to open up our practice to the traditional legal aid practice after we got rid of, you know, the juvenile court program took over, actually, our office. And so after we lost that, it was great. We were able to open up and do our traditional legal aid practice.
And so explain a little bit more, the juvenile practice as it was that representing the parents in a separation, the kids in a separation? What role were the attorneys at legal aid filling in that contract?
Well, for conflicts, we handled parents, but for the most part, we were guardians ad litem.
Okay. Right. And that's still an area that needs attorneys, as I understand, for appointments and being paid by the state for that work. But there's still certainly a need out there for guardian ad litem in juvenile court.
Yeah, the juvenile court has a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Jen, we're going to bop over to you now. Tell us your story, growing up and what took you to law school and what brought you to legal aid.
I guess I didn't really know that I wanted to go to law school until I was at my later and in college.
Okay.
So I knew that I wanted to help people, mm-hmm. and I majored in psychology as an undergraduate. And then I had a decision as to whether did I want to pursue that, take the MPREs or try to get into law school and take the LSAT. So my dad is an attorney also. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that I would go to law school. And I went to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln College of Law.
Got it. And then you got out, and did you know legal aid was the way you wanted to go? Or
I did. And okay. I actually, during law school, after my first year, I clerked at this is before legal aid, the programs merged. So it was Legal Services of Southeast Nebraska. So I clerked there throughout law school and then ended up getting a position as an attorney after I graduated.
Does legal aid still have clerkships for law students?
Yes.
Nice.
And I think even this summer we have, it's about 15 law students that will be here over the summer in our primarily in our Lincoln and Omaha offices.
Whoa, 15. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. That's a great pipeline to recruit.
Yes.
The next, yeah.
Yes.
And so when you first started here, what kind of work were you doing?
When I first started at Lincoln as an attorney in our Lincoln office, we have a juvenile contract also in the Lincoln office that still exists today. But I was doing juvenile court work primarily and then family law when I first started.
And creeping on your LinkedIn profile, did I see that you went out to Western Nebraska? Lincoln is the Western Nebraska to Omahanians, in my opinion. but Western Nebraska, were you looking out there?
Yeah, I worked at our Lincoln office for about a year and then moved out to our North Platte office in October of 2000. And I was there for 6 years.
Wow. Okay. How was that experience? Growing up in a place similar to North Platte, I'm not going to say bad things about a town that size, but that was dedication. You were going to a different, completely different situation just for the job.
Right. Yeah. Well, and while my husband is also an attorney, mm-hmm. and he got a position out in North Platte, and I was able to transfer to our North Platte office. So that's how that happened. Mm-hmm. But I actually loved working in North Platte. I had a great experience. A lot of times I was a year out of law school. So I was a pretty brand new attorney. And a lot of times I was the only attorney out in the North Platte office. And so I had a quick immersion into all of the things that we did. So I got to do the broad cases that I just talked about. So bankruptcies, evictions, disability cases, Medicaid cases, domestic violence cases. So I really got to do all of the things that we do here at Legal Aid of Nebraska.
And you have the support of the firm. They can help you, guide you, but you're still on.
That is absolutely correct. And I was very thankful that I got to work in the Lincoln office first and get to know the staff there and be able to rely upon them for questions that I had. So that was great. And I you know, even though Marty's been at Legal Aid for 23 years, she was a practicing attorney for a number of years, as she said before that, in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So I got to know Marty probably by asking you questions also.
We had a case together.
We did have a case together. So, yeah.
And let's get a sense of the scope of Legal Aid. How many attorneys? You said 19,000 requests, 14,000 cases a year. How many attorneys and staff are with Legal Aid of Nebraska?
We have 50 attorneys.
Just about. Like right now, I think we have just under 90 full-time staff members.
That's amazing. I mean, that is one of the largest law firms in the state. And I would submit that 19,000 cases probably puts you close to the high water mark for firms in the state and work they do. And to apply, people that are that can't afford an attorney, the application is it 150% of the federal poverty line? Is the
125% of the federal poverty line? But we can spend down. So if people make up to 200% of the federal poverty level, we can spend them down to 125% and help. So we subtract basic living necessities, that kind of thing.
Right. And so there's all this intake for that part. Are you still working with the state bar on their intake for the pro bono program and the low bono program that they have? Does that still come through?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's nice to have a one-stop shop for people that perhaps Legal Aid's the right place. If it doesn't fit, perhaps it's state bar and the work that they do with their volunteer lawyers project. And we get calls at the lawyer referral service for people who can't even afford the consultation. So we send it around to you guys. There is a huge need, right? An unmet need that's still there, even with the 19,000 requests. Can you speak to that? Yeah.
Yes, I believe there's about 300,000 people in Nebraska who financially qualify for legal aid services. And so I believe it's about 92% of people who are in need of civil legal assistance are unable to fully resolve their legal issues.
And we see that in people going to court not being represented. People not showing up to court cases that they're in and having default judgments against them. And that's, I get it. You're overwhelmed by the process, by the system. You can't afford an attorney. You shut down, but then the default judgment is not going away. It's not just because they don't show up doesn't mean it doesn't happen. What has been really rewarding parts of your work over the years? Marnie, I'll start with you.
That's a tough question because there's been so many, actually, to tell you the truth. But what I've really enjoyed is working with people who are forced to represent themselves in court. Mm-hmm. So we have a project where we help fathers learn how to represent themselves, as you know, to modify child support orders themselves. Mm-hmm. And we've got 4 walk-in centers across the state where people who are forced to represent themselves can come in and get short-term advice or get pleadings or get an overview of the system. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, when people are confronted with the system, they're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And so the whole point of the walk-in centers is to help people understand the system, help them navigate it better, and hopefully get a better outcome than they would have without that intervention. Mm-hmm. So that's been really rewarding. And I think the other thing is that once you have a client, you always have a client. Mm. So it's been really rewarding to have clients come back over the years just asking legal questions. Kind of fun.
Yeah. Do you happen to have a round number in your head on how many clients you've had over the years?
Boy, that's a really tough one. I don't know.
A lot.
A lot.
And is it all digital case files for the most part now? Are we still doing paper files around? Or
a little bit. Yeah. A little bit, but mostly it's digital.
Yeah. I can't, good thing I don't practice, because I can't get to digital when it comes to case files for me. Jen, what's been really rewarding parts of your experience in this practice?
That's a really good question. And like Marnie, it's hard for me to pinpoint one exact thing. Mm-hmm. But I can say, you know, I can say a couple things probably. One is from my perspective, I think our clients are very, they're very resilient. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually for me, the circumstances that they're in, it would be hard for me. Like I would probably have given up. Mm-hmm. And their determination and dedication to help and to help them pursue justice, to help them resolve their legal problems is very rewarding for me. And days can be very difficult, but overall, what we do here as an organization and as a nonprofit law firm, to me, that's the most rewarding part. I don't feel like my job is my job. Mm-hmm. I love the work that we do. I love the people that I work with. It's such a great environment. And just, I'm totally bought into the mission of Legal Aid.
Yeah, we should probably kind of nip in the bud the misconception that can exist out there in certain cynical parts of the world about, people that are coming in here are, you know, people that need help because they can't help themselves, and in a bad way, right? The people that come in here, they get help, and they're resilient people, as you said. They're just needing a little bit of help to move them on and hopefully get them to a better spot in their life. And I've run into pushback from people inside legal community and outside. Oh, legal aid. Well, you know, that's just for deadbeats. That's absolutely false. 100% false. And I'm going to yell it to the mountaintops. The work that's done is so damn important. And if I don't have money and I have a legal action against me, I'm so happy that I have a place to go, in a non-criminal sense, obviously. That's the public defender's office, everybody. That's not legal aid. But it's such important work. And day in, day out, we see a need that's being filled by the office. Now, you guys are in management positions at this point because you've been here so long and you know everything and everyone looks up to you. So what work are you doing now? Marnie, I'll go back to you. Start with it.
The bulk of my work is made up of is self-help work. Mm-hmm. So I run or oversee the running of the walk-in centers, mm-hmm. and our intake and access process. So the bulk of work I do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm the anchor for the Omaha office for our walk-in center, ADJ. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time, I get individual cases for clinic cases, people who are trying to modify their child support order, mm-hmm. or cases where the adverse party is missing in action, and teaching those people how to represent themselves in court, getting them together. So we've got a number of clinics, and I've got individual clients who are in those clinics. But the bulk of the work is in the access to justice centers.
And you were a big part of revamping the website for people as they were trying to kind of navigate what sort of help they need, right?
Well, we've got a program for self-represented litigants called Law Help Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge undertaking by the firm. But it's a great website, and it's based on cumulative knowledge of legal aid and our handbooks, and it helps people draft pleadings and get letters and just understand the process. And the whole idea was to help people, to divert people away from the access line, people who could help themselves, divert calls away from the access line. I don't know that it ever met that purpose, but because we get so many calls at the access line. But it's a great website.
It is. I've been on it. I'm really blown away by the work that's on it. It's helpful for attorneys, I have to say. But it is one of those things when people are coming in, and if you can divert them and have them do that work themselves and get the documents that they need without the one-on-one time on the phone, it's helpful. We know that the phone lines overrun sometimes with so many calls at once.
Right.
How many people are working the access line at any given time?
There are 8 paralegals and 3 attorneys.
Wow.
So the paralegals take all the calls and do what we call callbacks, people who have left voicemails for us. And we did have an online application, and they would follow up on those online applications. Then there are 3 attorneys who are advising the paralegals all day. So they come up with problems that clients are presenting, and the attorneys provide advice.
Wow. Wow. That's a tremendous value and operation. It makes my head spin. We have one person with Lawyer Referral Service, and she seems like she's got so many calls coming in, but you guys have the mountain of calls. Jen, what position are you in now, and what's the scope of your work?
I oversee the legal program at Legal Aid of Nebraska, and so I work with Murney and the other directors of the substantive areas of law to determine what our advocacy priorities are, what we call level of service for a particular issue. So is this something that we would provide advice on, or refer them to the self-help center, refer them outside legal aid, or consider taking their case for representation? So I work on that. And then I also work with our attorneys on appellate issues.
And yeah, that's kind of something that people don't think about, but there is appellate work that Legal Aid gets in on and has had some success lately with.
Yes. We have a number of appeals at any given time with the Nebraska Court of Appeals and then the Nebraska Supreme Court primarily, although we have had a couple cases go to the United States Supreme Court.
Right. Yeah. The big one.
The big court.
The scope of legal aid has expanded here in Nebraska, right, over the years as more and more attorneys are added and more funding can be found and everything like that. And I was curious, compared to other states that run their legal aid differently, are there areas that we focus on that maybe is different than other states, or are there other states that are focusing on other things, depending on what the need is there? Is it sort of dependent on what you guys are seeing on the ground? Tough question. I was just wondering, compared to, let's say, Legal Aid of Iowa or of South Dakota, I'm sure they have different needs for their people, and they probably have different focuses. It's not cookie cutter. Legal aids are not cookie cutter across the country, right?
Well, I think legal aids participate in the same kind of work that we participate in.
Okay.
You know, and then individual offices will get individual projects. Like some agencies I know focus on clean slate work and do a lot of that out of Philadelphia. But the traditional legal work that Jen described, I think, is the traditional legal work that you see at a lot of legal aids.
Gotcha. Thank you for that education. There are opportunities for private attorneys to interface with legal aid, to help the legal aid. Can you talk about what those opportunities are for them?
Sure. We've got multiple opportunities, actually. One, we have a private attorney initiative, and 12% of our budget is spent on placing cases with private attorneys throughout the state. Some of those we do reduce fee, and some of those we do pro bono. So the director of that project has a lot of, has a pretty big stable of attorneys that she can rely upon throughout the state to call upon to take cases for us. We tend to focus those efforts in counties where we don't have an office. So that's one way that people can get involved. The other way is we've got a pro bono engagement and development project. And the director of that project recruits attorneys to staff clinics for name changes, for set-asides, for transfer on death deeds. And attorneys can come and spend 3 hours on a Saturday morning helping an individual get a case set aside or a transfer on death deed created or the paperwork done for changing your name. And it's a great opportunity for attorneys because it's discreet. You know, there's a start and there's a stop. You don't take it home with you. And it's an incredible service that the attorneys provide for our clients.
Absolutely. I have helped out one or two times with the transfer and death deed clinic. Just a great way to give back. Makes you feel like you're doing something productive, good for the community as an attorney.
You are.
Highly recommend it, for sure. And I think we should also maybe talk a bit about funding, because there are people that think, oh, well, all the funding is taken care of by the government for legal aid, and that is not the case. I know that some of the programs are connected with grants. There's a Legal Aid Service of America, is that the name?
Or the Legal Services Corporation.
Corporation, that's always what threw me. The corporation, the name, but for legal aid. So there's a corporation that funds a large part of operating expenses, but there's grants, there's private money from donors, from foundations and things like that. So it's, there's always need for more work to be done for, you know, donations to support the cause, to find grants and foundation dollars to help, right?
Yeah, our funding, structure, we are a nonprofit. There is a misconception that we're a government agency, and we are not. So we are an independent private nonprofit. But the Legal Services Corporation was a corporation that's created by Congress, and it was created in 1974, so 50 years ago. The Legal Services Corporation grants money to programs like Legal Aid of Nebraska, but around the country and some territories. I will say that funding from the Legal Services Corporation is about 16% of our budget.
Right.
So it is, so it doesn't provide even a third of the support for Legal Aid of Nebraska.
And that is such an important point to put out there, that if you can support legal aid with a donation, absolutely do it. Law firms listening, great partner in legal aid. And it's been a hot button issue politically, funding legal aids in recent years. I remember being in Chicago and hearing the news that there was a claim that they weren't going to fund legal aid. It was going to be the hot potato, and putting funding of legal aid in the middle of whatever else was going on in Congress at the time. That was a scary moment, because that would have really affected our ability to do work here in Nebraska. There's a lot of partner organizations that you work with. We talked about Volunteer Lawyers Project, the State Bar. There are other legal nonprofits around town, Immigrant Legal Center, Women's Center for Advancement. We have organizations, but we could use some more. We could always use more nonprofit legal organizations in town. But you all have a very good working relationship with those other organizations and work together. Sometimes it's a conflict out situation, I suppose. Sometimes you guys are on both sides of the cases. They may be on one, you're on the other. For WCA, legal aid, that can happen from time to time.
Rarely.
That makes sense. That rarely, right? I'm trying to get the misconceptions out of the way, and maybe I'm focusing on that too much, and maybe we maybe we need to edit that out of the conversation, but if there was anything regarding misconceptions that you wanted to clear the air on with legal aid, and I've certainly done podcasts about this in the past, is there anything that you kind of want to get out there and nip in the bud that's a misconception either in the legal community or in the general community about the work you do, the work you don't do, things like that?
Well, like Jen said, people think we're a government organization, mm-hmm. and we're not. Mm-hmm. And that leads to all sorts of assumptions and problems, I think, sometimes. And lawyers sometimes think we're a government organization, mm-hmm. and we're not. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest misconception that I would tackle.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes I've heard that we would take cases away or help from what private attorneys would be able to do. And I don't think that that's an accurate perception because our clients cannot really afford a private attorney.
And it's not, I guess one thing that I see from the perspective of our lawyer referral service, people call in and they'll have a contract dispute or it's a case that wouldn't be something that Legal Aid of Nebraska would do. There are certain areas of civil legal representation that you do not handle. And sometimes people would say, well, if I can't afford an attorney, I'm just going to go to Legal Aid and they're going to help me. Not in all circumstances, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get the question at, and I couldn't think of it. I'm sorry. My brain was a little slow there. So how has the practice changed over the years? Some ways it has, some ways it's the same. Over 20 plus years in this office, still going to court, but you have digital service is the civility still there? Are you still seeing that, or has that gone by? How have you seen the practice evolve over the years? Jen, I'll start with you.
I don't know how to answer that question. You know, from our perspective, and Marnie could speak better to this, but you know, just the assisted self-help component or the limited scope services mm-hmm. has grown, and it's grown in terms of how we are being able to, or how we do provide services to our clients.
Yeah. Cause limited scope only really came into existence in Nebraska.
7 years, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right. It hasn't been that long. And it's sort of ebbed and flowed over that period in some respects, but certainly with the self or the, the transfer and death deed clinic and things like that, it works so well. And the work that you do, Marnie, it works so well. I think it's a huge service that you're so well versed in the law and doing the limited scope work.
Well, right? Thanks. Yeah.
Because it can be actually tough if you don't know the area. And I think I've been pushing it on young lawyers. And maybe that wasn't the best thing to do because they don't know what they don't know. And that could be the hole in their advice of using limited scope and preparing those documents. It certainly, there's more of a opportunity for attorneys out there to do that work to help more people in a economically viable way for those clients who can't afford full scope.
Yeah, I don't think limited scope has really taken off to the extent that it could.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of it. Limited scope representation is where an attorney agrees to take on a part of a case for a client. And that can be broken down into the stages of a case. So drafting initial pleadings and having that be the extent of what you do for them, making limited appearances, like to get temporary orders, and then you're finished with the case. Mm-hmm. Or representation at trial, having not been involved mm-hmm. in the earlier progression of the case. So limited scope representation is an agreement that I will represent you for a limited purpose. And once I've completed that purpose, my representation is over.
I need to get the stats on this. I haven't seen anybody brought up on reprimand for misusing limited scope representation. I don't know of any malpractice lawsuits against attorneys. I know there's a lot of concern by private practice attorneys about misusing the limited scope and having it be an issue that the person feels like they were left out in the lurch through this process, right? A full scope representation, and then you're always there taking care of the problems, but in the limited scope, it's their problems moving forward. You've given them representation. They're moving forward on their own, not represented. And I know there's just a lot of concern that they're going to come back and be mad at me. They're going to sue me. I wish we had more data on that, because I think we could maybe dispel that notion of potential liability, potential problems in limited scope. There's my next project. I just came up with another project that nobody's going to fund. That's wildly interesting to me and nobody else. So where we go from here, Murnie, I don't know if you want to put this out to the world on the podcast, but you have some exciting news.
Yep. I'm going to be retiring in December after 23 years, and I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll stay involved tangentially. Yeah. And legal aid will always be my most satisfying professional home. Mm-hmm. So it's a bittersweet event, but it's time.
Yeah. So a lot of memos to file on everything and making sure that the transition goes well.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Do you have a kind of a deputy that you're working with right now?
Well, I supervise three people directly, mm-hmm. and but my cases are my cases. So...
So there's a timeline there.
There's a timeline.
And Jen, you've been working your way up the ranks over the years, even interim top spot a while back here. And so what does the future look like for you?
That's a really good question. At some point, I will retire.
not in December, though, right?
But not in December.
Yeah, we have your word. Okay.
you know, and Marnie's been such a part of Legal Aid for the past 23 years, and you'll always be a part of Legal Aid, Marnie. But for me, I mean, I just hope to continue to make Legal Aid better and better as we go on. And I think we're a strong organization already, but there's always room for improvement. So I just want to make sure that we continue to be strong and even better.
You've both cared so much, and I've had opportunities to be on committees with you and work with you in many different respects, and the level of commitment and care that you've shown to this organization, but writ large to people, respective people, helping people through difficult times, it's been eye-opening and frankly really inspiring for me. I'm so glad that the Public Service Committee chose you both for this award this year. I think it's very fitting. As we mentioned before we got on the podcast, 10 years ago, the organization received the award. But I think it's pretty exciting to have individual rock stars like you guys getting the recognition for this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, it's... it makes us feel good, and I'm glad we're shining a light. I hope that those listening go to your website, sign up to be private attorney helpers, make a donation, get on the list for helping legal aid in whatever way they can, and supporting the mission in any way they can as well. So we'll leave it at that. Is there anything? But oh, I forgot. Is there anything that we didn't mention? Was there a softball question that you're hoping I would ask to really knock it out of the park? Anything?
I don't think so. I think what Jen said is true. It's a great organization. It's a strong organization. Mm. And we're on a good footing. And I think we've got respect among the bench and hopefully among our peers. And it's a great place to work.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're here. And my wife's on the board, so I'm a little biased. I love you all so much. thank you for taking the time, and we'll see you on May 1st for the award ceremony at the Law Day Lunch.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.